truly a blessing to have your solo taken away from you at the last minute. And the old saying is, you'd better be ready to sing, preach, pray, and get out. But it's a blessed song, and one which is always a favorite of mine, and I'm glad we sang it. So good to see you here tonight. Thanks for coming, and we pray there's a suited, particular, tailored blessing for your heart from God's Word tonight. And keep praying. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, a couple more opportunities to let the gospel ring and see what the Lord will do with it in people's lives. It's exciting to see new babies. They're all beautiful. You never want to tell a mother her baby is not beautiful. You always want to be very considerate that way. But I have seen some ugly ones. but I'm very complimentary usually because I didn't have to work at it too hard, you know. But I'm glad that we can see new life in people, adults and children, come to know Christ, as Pastor said when he was 14. For me, I was 25. For others, it's older. The important thing is that it happens, amen? That spiritual birth from above, the hand of God reaching down into a deep and miry pit, plucking us out, setting our feet upon the rock, establishing our goings and putting a new song in our mouth, even praise unto God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne. Sing with me. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Probably the greatest assemblage of people last century here in Australia took place in the gold fields of Western Australia. It was rumored that a vast and great nugget had been found and that the local priest by the name of Long knew where it had been found. He was pestered by many to find the area, but he kept his lips sealed for quite a long time. Finally, he decided that he would give everyone who was interested an opportunity at the same time, and so a date was set, a time was set, and people came on horseback, people came on camels, diggers came on foot, many came by any and all conveyance possible. thousands and thousands of people gathered, Kenona, Western Australia. He said, this particular sacred nugget was found in the Gwen Lake area. And in moments, the great congregation of people disappeared, stampeding one another to get out there to find more gold. Days passed, and a few people came back, not having found a speck of gold. Then other numbers came back, and finally it was reported that no gold had been found in the Gwen Lake area. And then it was reported that the priest had been hoaxed. Someone had taken a mere metal lump and covered it with gold paint. He died shortly thereafter of a disconsolate heart. He was broken over it. He was bitterly sullen that he had set all of these people out on a fool's errand. Back in the 16th century, Rasmus came from the continent to Cambridge in England and was teaching some of the great theological truths. Young man there by the name of Blaney, studying, was under the tutelage and under the lectureship of Rasmus. And he knew that this man had something that he didn't have. He also knew Latimer, the great martyr, had heard him preach with vehemence, but he didn't have what Erasmus had. So Erasmus went to France, and in France he translated the Bible into Latin. And Blaney said, one thing I must have before I die is a copy of that translation. He said, I'm not much. As a matter of fact, I'm known as Little Blaney amongst his peers. He got hold of the copy, eventually read it, and came to these verses we're going to look at in just a moment. And the lights of glory shone on his heart, because he found it wasn't by all the hard work he could do, or by a work of righteousness that he could do, but it was sheer grace in the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Blaney got hold of that truth. His life totally changed overnight. And then he said to God, he said, look, I know that I'll never do a great work, but he said, Latimer. He said, I believe if Latimer can get hold of this truth, that the world would be stirred because of Latimer's pulpiteering ability. So he attended a meeting where Latimer was preaching. When Latimer came down off of the platform, his religious garb brushed the face of Blaney. And Blaney rose to the occasion and said, oh, I need to talk to you and confess to you my sin. Latimer ushered him into another room, and Blaney got down at his knees and said, I've sinned, but I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as he shared this great truth with Latimer, Latimer's heart came under great conviction of God, and he fell on his knees next to the confessor and confessed himself lost and in need of being saved. And Latimer went forth and preached until the government was so tired of him and the people were so tired of hearing this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. They piled up the logs and the timbers and they put him on a stake and they torched him while he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. In verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel or good news of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you now for the opportunity tonight to come aside from a very busy world, a very busy life. We would ask you to supernaturally, unusually settle us here. Give us rest from all of the activities of the day and all of the impulses of tomorrow. Help us to be led into the captivity of Christ here, every one of us. Lord, for those that know not yet the wonderful truth of this faithful saying, help them to know it tonight. Help them to come to grips with their lost condition. Confess Christ to be their only Savior. And Lord, would you work in the hearts of those of us who likewise came to a place when we realized that there was no good thing that we could do but to trust the work and the person of your blessed Son, Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to gain from Thee tonight that blessing that we need individually. Be it salvation, might that soul be regenerated tonight by the power of grace divine, by the Spirit of God. Might they come away from this meeting tonight rejoicing that their sins have been forgiven, and they have been given a new life in Christ and a guaranteed heaven to go to. And then, Lord, might those of us who have received that blessed gift at the past be encouraged to continue to tell others Jesus saves. Now, Lord, take these few minutes. Might you get the preeminence. Might the gospel go forth in power. Demonstration of your Spirit, convicting and convincing. May none of us leave here the same as we entered. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. What a day it was for Latimer to fall amongst the faithful sayings of the Word of God. Last night we saw it was the faithfulness of God and the desire of God to bring this church into being 40 some years ago, or about 40 years ago now. Saw how that faithfully down through the years he's blessed. And God is faithful. Never can he change a promise. Cannot lie. He's faithful. Tonight, we want to think about the faithfulness of his word. The faithfulness of his word. And it is a faithful saying. And when Latimer came into the presence of that faithful saying, there was no more hoaxes. There was no more charlatanism in religion for him. There was no more preaching an empty religion. But now there was the proclamation of the eternal truth that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's a wonderful history of truth that we bring alongside the gospel tonight. Yes, there's plenty of hoaxes out there that say to people, come this way, we've got something special. But listen, if it's not the old, old story, it's not the truth. And we need to remember that we have the truth, we have the faithful sayings of God, especially this, where it says it's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of your acceptation. It's worthy of a king's acceptation. It's worthy of all lords and ladies and gentlemen. It's worthy of all people to accept this wonderful saying and statement that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm thankful that he did. The first thing I'd like to point out to you tonight that is important, I believe, is that we have to remember that this is God's Word. And like his character, his immutability, his unchanging character, he has said that he sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't send Jesus to judge at that time. He sent Jesus to come and to bleed and die in our place as a personal Savior. This is not wholesale salvation. This is a personal Savior. This is a Savior for you. This is a Savior for me. This is a Savior for your child. This is a Savior for your mother, your dad. This is a personal Savior, as it was for the Apostle Paul. On the road to Damascus, with authority under his arm of arrest, he was going out hailing, arresting men and women who were embracing Jesus Christ as Savior and believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him and spreading that message around. And the Apostle, then Saul of Tarsus, was going about trying to erase the name of Jesus, trying to get rid of the people of the way. And so as he approached Damascus, a great light shone from heaven. We read this in Acts chapter 9, and we know it was brighter than the zenith of the sun, and all were blinded and smitten, and Paul heard a voice from heaven. It said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Lord, who art thou? By Jesus, he jumps up off the road, no longer desiring to put away the name of Jesus, but to brand it on every soul he came in contact with thereafter. Oh, what a life-changing thing it is when we embrace Christ as Savior. When we believe this wonderful, faithful saying, when we believe the record of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, that he did in fact die in my place and took my sin upon his own body, he became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God through him. What a joy. To be rescued. To be saved. To be cured of the eternal ill of condemnation. Oh my. It should cause us to rejoice every day. I'm saved, saved, saved. Praise God, I'm saved. I couldn't be saved on my own merits. I couldn't be saved on my work. I couldn't be saved by argumentation. I couldn't be saved by saying, God, I'm better than someone else. I couldn't be saved any other way than to simply humble myself like a little child and say, Lord, please, let me have the bread of life. And he gives it so freely. This is a faithful saying. It's unbreakable. Forever settled. It's coming from the mouth of Almighty God. It falls through the prophets way back when, in the grayness of the early hours of history, a young lad turns to his father and said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the lamb? 20 centuries later, prophet eating locusts and honey stands out and says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Listen, this is not something new. It's not something fanciful. It's not some brand of Christianity. This is salvation, rich and free, sent down from God Almighty in the person of His own precious Son, and any and all who will come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. What a joy it is to know this faithful saying. You ever been lied to? I've lied to myself. So have you. I try not to do it anymore, but I look in the mirror and say, it's still pretty good. I mean, that's just a flat, outright whopper of a lie. It's fading fast. It's getting wrinkled. Well, it's beyond that. We lie to ourselves about we're not so bad. I'm not so bad. Man, I've never really done anything heinous. I took the name of God in vain. God will not hold them guiltless who takes His name in vain. Well, I must admit I was a blasphemer. I cussed. And but I never did anything really bad. Look, one lie is sufficient. One theft is sufficient to make you a thief. One lustful look is sufficient to make you an adulterer in the name of, or in the eyes of God. We're all guilty before God. Lost and undone and unholy and ungodly in this present world. And without Christ, we're doomed and damned for eternity. But Christ steps over the threshold of heaven and comes in the form of a babe. Thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, He humbled Himself as a servant and took upon Himself flesh and died a sacrifice for you and for me. Oh my. We lie to ourselves. We compare ourselves with others. That's not wise. For we know not what is beyond the surface of a man's face. We might compare our stature. We might compare our results on tests and things like that. That's not wise because we don't know what's going on in another person's life. We don't know what they're faced with. But we do know that Jesus was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. There's not one thing He doesn't understand. There's not one thing in your life or mine or in any sinner's life that He's not aware of and He's not understanding of. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy. It's of great worth, secondly. As I said, perhaps the greatest gathering of people in the Southern Hemisphere took place all those years ago in the goldfields of Western Australia. There were thousands and thousands of people there. All bronzed skin from having been out digging and looking for that which man searches for to try to become rich and wealthy and satisfied with this world's goods. But of course, it was a fool's errand. But they thought it was of great worth. They only looked at the superficial. They only looked at the outside. They only saw the glitter of this large nugget. They never took a knife and scraped it. They never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, many people. They never tested it out. The Lord says, prove me herewith. Go ahead, put me to the test. Try the spirits. This is a worthy saying. It's of utter, a great worth beyond any value that you could ever put on it. You can't buy your salvation. There's not enough money in all the world, not enough gold. I mean, how are you going to buy something from somebody who owns it all anyway? I mean, great day, how foolish a thought is that? God says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine, and I'm going to try to dig enough gold and make enough money to get some kind of forgiveness from God and give it to the church or give it to the temple or give it to whatever, and God's going to simply blink at the fact that I've never dealt with my sin. I've only tried to pay him off. I've tried to bribe him. What an insult. And here's God loving us, caring for us, and slaying his only begotten Son in our place. It says, here's a free gift if you but will turn and believe on my precious Son. How worthy is that? It's beyond compare in this world of anything, of any value system that anybody has ever had. The worth of knowing Jesus Christ is eternal salvation. Can't be bought, it can't be traded for, it can't be bartered for, it can't be exchanged. It can only be had through faith in this faithful saying, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, and so this should be proclaimed, amen, by those of us who have had it fall upon our ears and the light of this truth has shined in our hearts, and we have turned from our sin and our iniquity and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have apprehended, and we have been given that wonderful gift of new life, divine, a supernatural regeneration, so that we are now fit to be a resident of heaven. I remember as a young schoolboy having to go down to the nurse's office along with all of my other students. They lined us up and they gave us what was called a vaccination. I wasn't excited about it, and so I kind of cringed and, you know, whatever they did. I never gave it a lot of thought. I was just told it was so that I wouldn't get polio. Joseph Salk had come up with a vaccination to keep this dreaded disease at bay. I never gave it a lot of thought because I don't think I had ever seen anybody with polio. I'd only heard about them, how that they needed to be put into what was called an iron lung. And because of the muscle system, polio would take away their ability to breathe, and so the iron lung would force their lungs to work and keep them alive until they got through the dreaded disease. But it had many side effects. When I was going to Bible school, I had several opportunities to go down to the veterans clinic to have some procedures done. I still had a bit of things happening as a result of wounds in the war. And I'd go down there and they'd find a little piece of metal here and there and take it out and sew me back up. And I went down this, I was sitting in a chair one day and I felt this thing in my back and it was working toward the surface. And I told Jennifer, I said, I'm going to stop at the clinic on my way home and see if they can get it out. So I went in and the fella took me over to the x-ray machine and did an x-ray, and he said, just wait, Dr. Marsh will be with you in a couple minutes. I sat down, I waited, the x-ray was developed, and nurse came, and he said, come this way, and I went that way, and I went in this door, and I could see my three x-rays up on the light and the clip where they put them. I turned and I looked to say hello to the doctor, and his name was Dr. Marsh. He was a quadriplegic from the neck down. Couldn't move. They had put a pen between his thumb and forefinger like that. That's how he wrote his name. He had that much movement. That's how he checked off the examinations. I said, the doctor? He said, yes. I said, Doc, there's no worries. I feel just fine. I thought, how pitiful my problem is. how pathetic, you know, I think this is a big deal. And I go down there and here's a paraplegic or a quadriplegic going to make a decision on what's going to happen with me. He said, sit down. I sat down and we began to talk, and we don't have enough time to tell you the long and the short of it. I'll just give you a little bit more. Turns out he was one of America's great heart surgeons of the day back in the 60s. 35 years old at the pinnacle of his career. And guess what happened? Polio. Resulting in being paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. I began to think more about that vaccination than I ever had before. I was thankful that I had it. But I remember when that vaccination was first brought out, people decried it as deviltry. People decried it as all kinds of things. But it was used to spare literally a generation of this dreaded disease. We have the cure for man's eternal need. This saying right here. You don't have to march one step further through the scriptures and to settle right here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of everyone's acceptation. There's not anything else that's going to save you, other than the person, work, and shed blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. There's not one other thing that can happen in your life to bring you to the place of being eternally cured of that awful sin of condemnation. But to trust in what Jesus did for you and for me. And when you and I experience the blessing of being saved, oh, how our hearts rejoice over the fact that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And then the proof is our deliberate proclamation to those around us. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And yet, I'll confess, I get slack about that. I get a little comfortable. I even get a little fearful. I remember a couple of years ago, I was out in Parramatta, and I had to go somewhere, so I went down and got on the train there in Parramatta. And I was standing there on the platform waiting for the train, and this fella was about 6'8", maybe that high. He was standing there. I don't think I've ever seen anyone who had had more piercings, markings, cuttings, ringlets, rings through his eyelids, his nose, his lips, he'd never make it through a metal detector, let's just say that. But he was standing there, waiting for the train. I looked down, and the Lord said, are you going to speak to him? I said, Lord, I'm a Yank, and sometimes people take exception to Yanks giving them a buttonhole on the train platform. I might end up in front of the train. He said, I'm looking after you. You just do what I tell you. So I moved over a little closer, and he said, hey, mate, how you going? Now, I don't have any boibles hanging off my ears or eyelids or anything. I'm about like I am every time you see me, just plain, ordinary, plain, bland. He looked down, he said, well, what's it to you? I said, oh, I'm just waiting for the train, want to talk to somebody. He said, why would you want to talk to me? And I said, why wouldn't I? He said, come on, mate, look at the difference. I mean, and when he put his arms out, there was more, you know. I mean, it was just unending. And I turned around and I said, well, look at me. He said, I still don't know why you'd want to talk to me. I said, because we've got something in common. He laughed. He said, we have nothing in common. So I asked, we do. He said, what's that? I said, I'm a sinner just like you. And I needed to be saved, and you needed to be saved, and there's only one who can save us, and that's Jesus Christ. And amazing, the softness that came over that hardened face. He said, are you for real? I said, yeah, I believe I am. I said, I used to be a soldier, and I used to be a cop, and I said, I met Jesus at the crossroads of my life, and I said, I trusted him, he changed my life. And I said, he's given me new life, and I'm here to tell you, you can be saved. He just shook his head. He said, I've never. I said, yes, I don't believe you have. I've never. Now, I don't know if a man got saved. I would like to report, oh, man, we fell on our knees right there around a crowd of people, and he prayed. No, that's not how it happened. But I thank God the seed was planted, amen? And I've seen more than one Christian who's had the marks in their own body of a previous life. I've got some. But I'm thankful that this is not the body I'm entering heaven with. I'm getting a new one. Instantaneously, if the rapture takes place, and if I go by the door of death, I'll get a celestial body to meet the Lord in the air. And then I'll get one like his glorified body. Listen, folks. The cure is for everybody. It doesn't matter what we look like, what our skin color is like, what our background is like, rich, poor, in between, whatever. Jesus saves, and God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the only thing that will be worthwhile in the sight of Almighty God for you to say, Jesus, I plead his blood on my behalf. And you can be saved. Lost friend here tonight, I want to invite you to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart tonight by saying, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. And trust the work and the person of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just trust him. Embrace him with all your heart and say, I am a sinner, and I don't have to be argued about that. I have lied. I have cheated. I have said bad things. I've done things. And this before a holy God is an absolute affront. But because the holy God loves us, he sent the substitute to die in our place. Totally satisfied, raised him from the dead. And then he saves a person like the Apostle Paul to be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. Listen, if God would save a murderous, contriving, Christ-hater like Saul of Tarsus, who said, honestly, and I believe it true, that he was the chief of sinners. There's no one too bad for God. Would you be saved tonight? Would you trust him as your Savior? And then, Christian friend, would you get excited enough about your salvation that you would want to tell somebody every day? It doesn't matter if they get saved, but you would tell them. That you would walk up to them and just say, hey, how you going? They may say, I don't want to know nothing. That's all right. I want to tell you one thing. That's it. Jesus saves. Would you be willing to do that? Would you get fired up enough about this wonderful thing that God's done for you that you start to boil over with the love of Christ? Your attitudes and your aspirations and the things which are important to you take on new value. Things that are unimportant, dim and pale. Listen, God wants us to be vessels unto honor and to be poured out to a world that's rapidly dying before our very eyes. Would you do that? Would you talk to the Lord about that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the preciousness of this faithful saying. How that this is not new. This has changed the lives of so many down through the centuries. And Lord, I pray that it would change someone's life tonight. I pray that there would be conviction, convincing, and converting by the blessed Spirit of God. Lord, work that work which only you can do. For those of us who thank you from our heart of hearts that you saved a wretch like me, Lord, would you help us to proclaim the truth, the saying that Jesus saves. Have your way in all our hearts and all our lives. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed just for a moment. You're here tonight and you'd say, Glenn, I have to be honest with myself. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have that blessed peace that you talked about tonight. I don't have a knowledge of the forgiveness of my sin. But I do know that I'm stirred down deep in my soul about it. And I want to trust this precious Savior you talk about. Can I pray for you? I'll not point you out or embarrass you in any way. But if you would gently, without disturbing the person next to you, slip your hand up just until I see it, put it right back down. We'll pray for your salvation. For the fact that you could have assurance that you have a home in heaven. Is there anyone like that tonight? Would you just take a moment to consider him and his invitation to you to come unto him? Would you slip your hand up and hold it there? Anyone like that? Now, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight with God's people. We're thankful that we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, singing from our hearts and praising him. Strengthen us, dear Lord, with a good night's rest, but also, Lord, send us forth tomorrow with the name of Jesus on our lips to share with a lost and dying world. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As the instrument players come, let's turn to 666.